Luke writes, "Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came to him and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are not needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her.' This is the gospel of grace."
All the Buried Women is a new podcast written and narrated by Beth Allison Barr and Savannah Locke. The first episode builds with excitement as it recalls the story of how women ministry leaders in the 70s and 80s serving in the Southern Baptist Convention began to find each other and connect. They formed a group called Women in Ministry and began to organize and advocate for more opportunities for women in pastoral leadership. There was much support growing for this group, and they presented a resolution at the 1983 SBC annual meeting encouraging churches to explore giving women more opportunities in ministry service. This resolution passed. But then came the backlash. A year later, at the 1984 Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting, a different resolution was passed, one that would prohibit women from leadership in pastoral ministry. To summarize this resolution, it said that because man was first in creation and woman was first in the fall of Eden, that is why Paul claims that women are excluded from pastoral leadership. Therefore, the ordination of women will not be supported. And this resolution passed. When asked for a platform to speak against the resolution, Susan Lockwood Wright, a pastor in Chicago at the time, was told no. Jimmy Draper, then president of the SBC, told her, "You women got your way last year." The opportunities they had dreamed of were essentially taken away with one vote. Although the leaders who shoved this resolution through in 1984 claimed that this was about Scripture, it has never really been about Scripture. It has always been about power and about fear. Women, among other groups, must be kept in their place lest they become a threat to those who are in power. The author of the Gospel of Luke paints a different picture. The Jesus presented in Luke's Gospel is a friend to the outcasts. Jesus' radical inclusiveness is evident in scenes where he reaches out to sinners, foreigners, tax collectors, and women. Particularly in regard to women, Jesus is shown throughout the Gospels as speaking and interacting freely with women. His actions and his teachings imply that women do not need to be restricted based on their gender. The story of Martha and Mary captures a beautiful scene where Jesus advocates for these women to live into their calling and to be their true selves. Jesus was beginning his journey to Jerusalem, and he knew what fate was awaiting him there. We can imagine the dread he was feeling when he stopped for respite among his friends Mary and Martha. In the book of John, it says that Jesus loved Mary and Martha, along with their brother Lazarus, and they loved him too. While he was there, Martha was busy getting the meal ready, and Mary was sitting and listening at Jesus' feet. Martha becomes frustrated because Mary isn't helping with the many tasks that need to be done to provide hospitality to their guests. And while this is understandable, I can imagine Martha and Mary were two very different people. This probably wasn't the first time that they had had this argument. Martha is the older sister, Mary is younger. In other stories, Martha is portrayed as a servant, while Mary is more of a learner and a reflective person. I wonder if Mary has had many opportunities to freely engage this part of her personality until she encounters Jesus. Here, she is welcomed by Jesus to sit at his feet. In their current society, this would be viewed as radical. This was the place of men. Women did not sit and learn at the feet of men. To do so would be to claim the role of a disciple. Mary is violating a clear social boundary here. And Jesus' words in this story are an affirmation of her right to be there. In his short response to Martha's complaint, he opens the door for all women to sit at his feet and learn and to participate in serving him. First, he reminds Martha of her calling. This isn't necessarily a story about how prayer and stillness before God are better than service, but how both are necessary. Jesus reminds Martha that her distraction and her worry are clouding her vision of using her own gifts of service. He's also challenging her to consider if she is preventing Mary from using her gifts of service. Second, he gives both women agency when he calls what Mary is doing a choice. He says she has chosen the better part. She has chosen. She gets to choose. Choose according to her interests, choose according to her personality, choose according to her gifts. In Jesus' statement, he is asserting that this choice is not limited by societal expectations that have been placed on Mary because she's a woman. Gender is simply not something Jesus is concerned with here. Third, he protects both of them when he says, "It will not be taken away from her." He's not just talking to Martha here. We can imagine that Mary is sitting among the disciples, the men, and others who are following him. I like to think that Jesus said this loud enough for everyone to hear. Mary's place at his feet, Mary's choice to live into her calling, Mary's unique gifts, all of this will not be taken away from her. Essentially, Jesus says, no. This is her place. This is her choice. No. It will not be taken away from her because she's a woman. It will not be taken away from her because others think she doesn't belong. It will not be taken away from her because of the rules of society. No. When I think about that 1984 SBC meeting, I think about some of you who were there. I think about the grief you must have felt at that turn of events. I think about my father who was there and who told me later, when I was older, about the deep sadness and helplessness he felt as he saw this group that he loved so much taking such a wrong turn. I think about women in our history who have fought for centuries for women's rights, women who fought for the right to vote in 1920, women who had to work for the right to be leaders in politics, like Shirley Chisholm, the first black woman to be elected to Congress in 1968. And I think about women and men here at Broadway who set the precedent for celebrating women in ministry when you ordained the first deacons here in 1980. And I wonder the lament all of you trailblazers must be feeling right now. There are people in the highest places of power trying to take these rights away from women right now in 2025. It is shocking, but it is happening. Power and fear are dominating as actions are being taken by our elected officials to try to silence marginalized voices. Choices and opportunities are being taken away. In January, President Johnson's executive order signed in 1965, designed to combat workplace discrimination and create safeguards for people of color, gender, and other marginalized groups, was revoked. This took away a six-decade-old tool to ensure women had a fairer playing field where they could be evaluated on their merit and not on their gender. In February, Admiral Lisa Franchetti, Chief of Naval Operations and the first female member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was fired without any clear explanation, leaving the military without a single woman in a four-star leadership position. In March, along with other important stories of history, web pages on the Department of Defense highlighting the service of women Air Force pilots in World War II were removed and replaced with a DEI label. Although some of these pages have since been restored, this is an attempt to erase the history of female and other contributions to the building of this country. Rick Pidcock, journalist and writer for Baptist News Global, wrote an article recently entitled, "Our Debate, Ultimately, is About the Dignity and Humanity of Women." His point is that the dignity of women should never be a secondary issue, no matter who is in power. He says if women are having their gifts stymied, then their dignity and value are under attack. He cites findings from a Pew Research study that in the last 2 years, there has been a significant rise among men and women in this country who think women should return to their traditional roles in society. All of this must be lamented, but it must also be resisted. May we be inspired by today's gospel story. Jesus himself said, "No, this will not be taken away from her." As followers of Jesus, then we continue to follow his example. Thankfully, at Broadway, we've been clear about this for a long time. We have a unifying understanding that Jesus did not make gender a qualifying force for any roles in ministry or any other leadership position. How can we continue to resist? We can continue to be aware of our own understanding of traditional gender roles. Do we sometimes still inadvertently place women in a certain role and men in another? Might we continue to assume that the doctor is a man and the teacher is a woman? Is it strange to us if we hear about a dad who wants to be a stay-at-home dad? It is notable that when we look at our Sunday school teachers here at Broadway, from the baby class through fourth grade, they are all women. Just throw that out there. We always need teachers. But being aware of our ingrained ideas of gender roles, this might seem like a really small thing, but it's a start to keeping our own minds open to the differing gifts and callings of people that have nothing to do with gender. Along these lines, we can resist the traditional idea of masculinity. Rick Pidcock found in that same Pew Research study that a large percentage of men and women in the U.S. believe that society as a whole has become too soft and feminine. This idea of masculinity is called toxic because it harms men as it shoves them into roles that they do not wish to fill. Men are as different in personality and gifts as women. It can also create loneliness among men who may have trouble finding spaces to share their vulnerabilities. The Jesus of the Gospels does not portray this toxic idea of masculinity. He feels things deeply, and he discusses matters of the heart with others. He cries. He is gentle. He explains that to be great is to welcome a vulnerable child into your arms. He serves his friends breakfast on the beach. He is humble, and he never wields his own power for his own gain. We also find in this gospel story that resistance takes both being and doing. Martha is active, Mary is receptive. We go and do like Martha, we sit and listen like Mary. Both are necessary for the life of a disciple if we are going to have sustenance for the journey ahead. We must find balance between action and restoration at the feet of Jesus. And finally, we must remember that this story is not just about women. This is about any group that has been dismissed because of a societal value placed on them. Jesus does not put stipulations on who can be a part of his mission. He does not say you must be a man, you must be straight, you must be educated, you must be wealthy, you must be cisgender. No, he wants everyone's hearts and everyone's participation. He makes space for every human to sit at his feet and take part in their work based on their calling and their choosing. He is advocating for all people to take their place alongside him. Our Jesus says, no, this will not be taken away from them. The truth is, though, when Jesus said these words to Martha and Mary, he also knew what it would cost him. Remember, he was on his way to Jerusalem. He knew the backlash he would face because of his radical inclusivity. He had broken the rules of society in order to include all of God's people. There is a cost to this kind of resistance. Perhaps that's what Jesus meant when he said, "Take up your own cross and follow me." And so we have choices to make too. Let's choose to hold tight to these words of Jesus that will not pass away, the words of God that have the final word. We live by our convictions and we count the cost. We resist as we work to protect the dignity of all people because we are followers of Jesus. My friends, this is the Jesus we follow. This is the Jesus we love. And so let us join our voices together as we say, no, it will not be taken away. Amen.